Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
All right, he did it again. Draymond Green did it again. Picked up two technical fouls with 9.3 seconds left on Saturday. And it cost the Warriors a ball game against the Charlotte Hornets, 102-100. And here we go again with the focus of the Golden State Warriors, Dibs being Draymond Green on a night when it could have been a hell of a team victory without Steph Curry. Good morning, guys.
What's going on, Steiny? I thought you were going to come in with a little Britney Spears, hashtag free Britney, with oops, I did it again, Goo, because that's what this is. How in the world do you go from up two with nine and change to go to getting ejected, getting dejected, and getting a loss, Goo? I've seen the sequence now 84 times if I've seen it once, and I still just don't know how that happens to somebody in that moment.
Yeah, and it started out Saturday night, fellas, filling Heartbreak Hotel for Steph Curry because we didn't know what was going on. He wasn't going to play at home. And Steiny and Dibs, I've watched the thing back a million times, which is three, and I got to say this. It just reeks of selfishness. This is your leader. This is your king. For him to do that and basically just give 2 points, they're up two, that can't happen. And I know we'll get into where the Warriors pick up the pieces, but the other part of this to me is what happened after the game. So when you got a vendetta against the NBA, you used a post-game presser to let the people, the masses, know what's on your mind. Eric Paschal has to tell us how you feel, and that's what bothered me, and the double standard I think is going on in the Warriors locker room, and Steiny and Dibs has been going on for some years now, and I'm mad, Dub Nation, I'm mad, I'm a part of Dub Nation, that he was above facing the music. And that's the worst part of this to me, outside of what it did for your team in the win-loss column.
You're right. You're right, Goo. I mean, you're right. At what point is enough enough? And for those who may not have heard the call, what do you say we take a listen to Tim Roy's call? I want to use the long one here, Joe, the one that's a minute long, because there's a lot here. I want everybody to listen to it, and then we'll just start diving into it. Take a listen.
So 13.3, 100-98. Warriors lead by two. Game in the balance. Can they steal one in Charlotte? Here we go. Mark Davis to throw it up. And ball tipped it, batted by Draymond. Grabbed by Hayward. He falls down. And now he's tied up for a jump ball. Oh, my goodness. Now the young official comes in and says Charlotte has a timeout. Wow. They're saying there's a timeout call. Jared Collins, Warriors assistant coach, trying to drag Draymond away.
How do they have time to get a timeout? And who called it? Was it from the side?
Well, Hayward fell down. Yeah, maybe somebody called from the side. That could possibly be.
Let's see how long this is.
Boy, that would have to be a very quick timeout because Hayward had the ball for maybe...
Well, P. PJ Washington.
4 seconds. Oh, Draymond's walking off. I think Draymond got ejected.
Oh, nice.
And that's going to be a technical foul. Now they're going to get free throws and the ball. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yes, sir. Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
A lot going on there. Draymond's in a jump ball. Hayward comes down with it. A teammate, P.J. Washington, called a timeout that was granted. So Dre got to the floor, figured we were looking at another jump ball. And when he saw that they'd awarded possession and a timeout to Charlotte, he went bonkers. He went bonkers. Two tees, two free throws, Charlotte ball, game winner. See you later. I don't think I've ever seen a player lose it that late in a game, and it directly cost his team. I can't remember a time. I've got one sort of, but it's not even really close.
Wow, and it's a sort of, I'm sure. And he is on the short list of all-time volcanic meteoric players. He'd be on the Rushmore, and you could go Dennis Rodman. You got to absolutely put Rasheed Wallace, the man who still holds a single-season record for technical fouls, and I don't know who your fourth would be as far as just Mount
Vernon
Spice
Maxwell?
More.
Ron Artest, maybe?
Yeah, yes, good call. I mean, Ron had one ill-fated trip into the stands. In general, he... But I'm 888-957-9570. Who else belongs on such a mount? But you heard the whistles, Goo, as Tim and Jim were doing such a good job of trying to sort it out. There was a tweet, 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 which was the first tee. And then there was one long tweet, which was the second, and yeah, the adios. And Jaren Collins is trying to tear Draymond away. That's the one that stays with me, Goo.
Yeah, it just reeks again. And, you know, we were going to talk about a game that could galvanize their season. No Chef, and there were so many different heroes. And even Draymond had a couple putbacks, a three to put him up 10. And I guess why I'm disappointed, and I can, it's my personal feeling, so this is what I'm going to put on it. I'm disappointed that nobody in the Warrior locker room called Draymond out. This is a guy that can talk to a rookie. He can do whatever he wants, throws bad passes, and it's his fault. Oh, it's your fault. But nobody stood up to the key to Draymond. And I'm wondering what Steph Curry's feeling. And Steiny, you let me know if I got my priorities in the wrong place, but I've been a teammate. It don't matter if it wasn't in the pros. Somebody's got to step up and read him the riot act. And for Coach Kerr, he crossed the line. What's the penalty? I'm not saying suspend him, but there's got to be something that happens when you continuously cross the line. Dre is Debo. He's Frankenstein. He beats to his own drum, and they can't control him. I feel better.
Are you saying he's wearing Steve Kerr's chain? And
there's no doubt. He is the
Steph
chain.
Bike?
Yeah. What you got on my 40? Man.
Well, the one thing I spent a little time doing, because we got to get into this, I went back into Draymond's history a little bit to chronicle some of the things that have happened to him over his Warriors career. We're going to get into that. If this were a one- or two-time thing, we could gloss over it. The question is it finally too much? Is there ever going to be a turning point with Draymond Green or an inflection point in terms of, you know what, this behavior no longer warrants, this behavior can no longer continue because your play's not good enough to warrant it. Are we there? That's one question. Let me ask you this, too, and I'll throw out the number with some questions in a sec. I want to ask both you guys this. First of all, I'll ask Goo first. The play itself, did Draymond have a gripe on the play itself?
None at all. And I'll add this because you didn't ask. It could have been a foul. It ain't WWE. He jumped on top of Hayward. It could have been a foul. He karate chopped him before he just plunged into a dip. So, no, there was no gripe to me.
Well, let's start before the ball even goes in the air. And this is where the gripe to me, and this is where I got to be critical of Steve Kerr, because he doesn't, I don't think, do a good enough job of proactive coaching as it pertains to the officials, because the coach of Charlotte is standing at half court before the ball is even thrown up. He's not in his, quote, coaching box. And by the time the sequence plays out, the ball is tipped. I feel like this is the one shining moment. The ball is tipped. The ball is tipped. Draymond comes in and tips it the other way. By the time Hayward gets possession, the coach is on the court, and the referee actually has to physically work around the coach in order to come in and signal that a timeout's been granted. So there were a number of things from an officiating standpoint that were a little too loosey-goosey in the first place, but I don't think Draymond, Steiny, to your question, has a beef on that because, you know, we've seen timeouts granted for far less. Hayward had possession. Timeout was being requested. It wasn't such an egregious error that he should have blown every gasket.
You're right. You're right. I think the problem was, well, obviously, it was one of those things where it was kind of like a play where a guy thinks he got fouled and is going to the line for two, and then they say, actually, no, that we didn't call, and then he just goes nuts. Right. I mean, the one thing, too, is, and we can talk about this, I don't feel like, a lot of times people say, oh, Draymond, they target him, they pick on him, they any other player doesn't get the BS. He deserved everything. As far as I'm concerned, he deserved everything he got on Saturday night. He after the initial play, he spiked the ball on the ground, and that's a technical foul 99 out of 100 times with any player. They didn't even call the technical foul on that. The technical foul, the first one was for using profanity toward the Bobcat. I'm sorry, the Charlotte Hornets. And then the second one was obviously for him losing it on the official. So, I mean, he had – the part that sticks out to me, Dibs, was Steve Kerr at one point looking at Draymond and being like, okay, yeah, I know, just get out. Just get out of here. Or just turn around. Just turn around. That's all you have to do. If you turn around, we still may win this game. And he couldn't turn around. He just couldn't.
Right, and to Guru's point, he crossed the line. This is not the first time he's crossed the line. And he crossed the line in the NBA Finals, and he had to watch the game from the Oakland Coliseum. Not the arena. Wow. Not the arena.
I remember.
He was at the Coliseum watching baseball and watching Cleveland come in and take the Warriors' lunch money in Game 5 from about 217 yards away. A long par 3 away, Steiny,
nice.
From where he should have been because he, quote, crossed the line. So there's a Led Zeppelin song that I like. It's called How Many More Times? How many more times are you going to treat me the way you do before you actually, you know, step in and do something about it? I'm not saying that you got to suspend him and you got to, you know, you're not captain anymore, but there's got to be
some
repercussions.
Say something. Somebody speak out. Just say words. Words are powerful. Say something. It's not okay.
All right, 888-957-9570. So much to talk about, and I'm going to just let you, the listener, kind of decide what you want to talk about. What sticks out to you about that game in the weekend? Is it Draymond's behavior? Are you mad at Steve Kerr? He didn't call a timeout with Brad Wanamaker getting tied up. Do you think it's more the officiating? All right, what do you do if you're Steve Kerr, Bob Myers? Do you do anything? Is this just what you have to put up with Draymond Green? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to talk about it all on the other side, and it's sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Some upbeat music. It's a little bit of an incongruity considering what we're talking about today. You know, Draymond Green.
You know, unfortunately, you haven't really done your homework to know that that's Daft Punk, and Daft Punk has announced that it is all over after, I believe, a 28-year run. So that's why you'll hear a lot of Daft Punk.
God.
So not only is it appropriate, it's actually pitch perfect. Nice job, but down.
What's the name of the song, though? Is it called Ejection? Is it called Over the Top? Is it called Smoke Coming Out of My Ears? Goo, have you ever heard of Daft Punk?
No, I haven't. Not until today.
That a baby. Goo.
Heard of Def Leppard, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Sure, sure. Yeah. I hate to always be the show's ombudsman, but I'm here for you.
That's a great, you know what, Dibs?
That's a great word, and I've always wanted to be hired as an ombudsman.
Yeah.
It just
basically
seems like
it's
a
know-it-all
job.
Goo. Yeah. The ombudsman's just a,
I work with two of them, four of them.
We're talking about Draymond Green, two technical fouls with 9.3 seconds left. Leads to two foul shots. Rozier makes them both. Then he hits a game winner. Ball game, and they almost win a game without Steph Curry. Here's the one, and I'm not saying this is the only one. The only one I vaguely remember, anything close to that, and I remember this game now come to think of it, is it was during the We Believe season, and it was a game on March 4th between the Warriors and the Washington Wizards. And Al Harrington made two free throws to put the Warriors up 106-104 with 2.9 seconds to go. This is in Washington. The Wizards inbound the ball to Gilbert Arenas, who was a Wizard, and he, here's surprise, he draws a foul on Michael Petras, a two-shot foul that was called by Tony Brothers. The bench erupted for the Warriors. The bench got a technical foul. Everybody thought at the time it was really Don Nelson who spearheaded it, but the bench ended up getting a technical foul, and then Arenas made all three foul shots, two from the shooting foul, one from the technical, and the Wizards beat the Warriors 107-106. There's one addendum to this game that's fascinating to me. You ready?
Oh. Yep.
After that loss was when the Warriors started their 16-5 stretch to make it to the playoffs, their We Believe year. It was their last loss before they went on their historic run, 16-5, finishing 9-10. So maybe the Warriors have a 16-5 run in them coming up right now.
Wow. After those two losses back-to-back in back-to-back fashion, oof, and the heartbreaking nature of it, Goo, when you find out that Steph's not feeling great, I don't know if he was locked up, if he had tummy issues. They said it's not COVID-19 related. Could have been any number of, small maladies. Hopefully
BGs.
He's back tomorrow. But, yeah, it could be the dreaded BGs, bubble guts, but not the Gibb brothers, Steiny, but BGs being bubble guts. But
from Australia, I believe.
So you look at that game and you think, okay, you're not going to win this game. And then you have it in your clutches only to lose it in that fashion. Maybe that's what makes it so much more frustrating. If you would have lost by 20, we all could have said, all right, no chef, we see that coming. But you had it, Goo.
Yeah, and they've told me, and I've learned, you don't talk religion at work, but the basketball gods made Rozier's shot go in because the Warriors had to deal with the fallout of Draymond or said player giving the other team 2 points, Steiny. And again, at the end of the day, they have a rat on the table. And I feel like still – nobody's addressed it. And at what point, do we look back at these two games? Steven Spielberg couldn't come up with a scarier script than these last two games on how you blow them. And New York is rolling. And I hope to God, Steiny, they're ready to go tomorrow. But how can you?
Well, it's the NBA. That's one that honestly that, a lot of times – cataclysmic
that parachuted in from like 12,000 feet
can go away right. in time, but
Steiny, we talked about this real quick, the schedule in these two games, nobody had this up 13 with 8 minutes left, and then Saturday night, man,
they're stingers. There's no doubt they're stingers. Let's go to Bobby B in the O, and Bobby B, it sounds like, well, go ahead. I'll let you speak for yourself. What's up, Bobby B?
Yo.
Great setup.
Stop crying. I mean, we know Draymond. I have a question for you guys. Hold on here. Is Draymond's value to the team just as important as Curry?
No.
Because, because we know that if you take Draymond out the game, the same way with Curry, you're losing that game. You're basically going to have to outscore the other team. Okay, so I'm just saying, look, we already know what Draymond brings to the table. We already know Draymond can sit there and throw a tantrum. Of course nobody else is going to say nothing because they already know his flavor. They know that's him.
So let me ask you this, Bobby. Seriously, like, you just live with it. You just have to live with it, and that's it. And I'm being serious. Maybe you do.
You do. You have to live with it. This is the player you troll to win games with. Now, as far as the season, I mean, come on. You're in a win-win situation. You're either going to go into the draft, or you're going to give your players, especially the bench players, enough time where they're going to contribute. I see this as a win-win. I mean,
Bobby,
hold on, Bobby. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead, Goose.
Yeah, I was just going to tell Bobby he brings it every time. But for you to pick up the phone and defend, I don't care what the player's name is, saying it's okay. He has a license to lose a game, to help the other team tie the game. You're justifying that. Nobody is worth that, Bobby. So I'm disappointed in you that you're defending Dre like he has a license to do that. No player does, B.
Okay, but don't compare him to – you comparing him to another player. He's a champion. So you telling me you don't value him like you do Curry?
Well, not quite. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it. Look, he's an important player. We can leave it at that. Draymond Green's a very important player to
this
team. We know that.
Yeah.
Does that give him this kind of license, though?
No, man.
I mean, that's really the question. I was thinking about this. I texted this to you guys. You know what I kept thinking about with this game? That's the kind of game where Draymond pisses off every single person in the Warriors organization.
Yeah.
Whether you're Bob Myers or Joe Lacob, or whether you're Bob Myers' personal assistant, or whether you're a custodian in the Warriors facility. Like, that's the kind of loss that just bothers everybody, because It gives people the perception that this guy thinks he's more important than the team, unfortunately, Dibs.
It's like when your buddy, you're all on a Vegas trip, and somehow your buddy's up like $8,000, and it's like, oh my God, we're having steak tonight, we're going limos, we're gonna have the best night ever in Vegas. And your buddy just won't leave. And it's like all of a sudden you look over and he puts all $8,000 on the next hand. And he gets dealt a 16, and he hits, and he gets that face card. It's like, you blew it. We were on the precipice of greatness. They were about to steal that goo without
Steph
Curry.
And by we, you mean him.
Yes. Yeah, and it's like, granted, you know, it's Draymond's team, it's his money, whatever. If the analogy holds water, I'm not sure. But that's what it felt like, because you were about to get over on the house.
Oh, man. No doubt. And real quick here, guys, I know I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a friend, I'm not a professional athlete, so you can tell me get a life, hashtag get a life with this, but am I the only one that on my metrics of what disappointed me most with this game and the loss, it was the fact that he didn't speak. Steiny and Dibs, am I putting too much cologne on that? But the type of guy I am, there is no I in team, and you want to be Malcolm X when you talk about the double standards, but when you mess up, Dibs, and you're the leader, and these youngsters can watch you go to the forum and face the music to dip out, as they say, that's what bothers me. That's weak sauce, man.
Well, and I'm afraid that these times, they have changed. And the old days of, you know, you had to face the music, quote-unquote, those days are over. And honestly, it works on both sides of the ledger, because we can come on our show and we can be critical. We can go on social media and we can blast away. And we never have to face the players like back in the day when Steiny was a Cub journalist at the Press Democrat and you out there on the beat. And you had to go face-to-face. There was no electronic media. If you weren't there, you didn't get the quote. So now, the players aren't held to that same level of, quote, expectation. Because Draymond's thinking, whether I face the music or not, he's still going to get buried on social media. So why put yourself through that additional level? I'm not saying I like it. I see what you're saying, Goo. But all I'm pointing out is I think that those days of facing the music, they're over.
Yeah, I would say this. Did I want to hear from Draymond Green after the game? Absolutely. Did I text John Dickinson to make sure that Draymond didn't talk after the game? And he said Draymond did not talk after the game. So that leads me to, like, I don't want to kill him for that, because maybe he's still fuming. And maybe he knows that he's going to get himself into more trouble. If he doesn't address it today, then we got a problem. Eric Paschal said that Draymond came into the locker room after and took ownership of what he did and said he made a mistake. You know, I get the feeling because it's Draymond Green, that's good enough. Let's move on. But that's remains to be seen. George. George wants to get Dibley's perspective on something. What's up, George?
Yeah, Mr. Dibley, in your long experience officiating CYO games, did you ever allow a coach to step out of the coaching box and onto the court during play while play was still in action? Isn't that
a unfortunately, the parameters of the gymnasiums in which I worked oftentimes didn't have ample space for any grown human to do anything other than to stray on the court, hashtag St. Pat's and Larkspur being the first among them. So, yes, I have allowed such egregious activity.
But would you say in an arena such as an NBA gym that there's plenty of room to him, for him to stay within his bounds and that should have been called prior to Draymond's technicals?
Absolutely.
Are you talking about Borrego being on the floor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I think that this is a greater problem, and thank you for the phone call. I don't want to get bogged down in bench parameters and referee logistics, but part of the problem too, Steiny, is now anytime anybody hits a three, that entire bench spills from the bench area down along the baseline and, you know, gets themselves involved in the proceeding. So the whole idea of sideline activity, in my opinion, is already way out of control.
I don't disagree with that. I think the reason that Borrego doesn't get teed in that situation is because on that one, they interpret it kind of by the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. He wasn't out there ostensibly to complain, or he was just right out there to kind of advocate. And because they let those coaches come out anytime there's a fracas, you could make a case that he started to run out there when Hayward and Green were battling for the ball. I'm just talking off the top of my head. I don't know.
Right.
But,
yeah. As a ref, anytime I make contact with a coach and it's in between the lines on my floor, it's you might as well send us to jolly old England because it's tea time, baby.
Gone.
Nice.
Yeah, and not well, a par four. You're talking about a cup of tea.
Yeah, we. That's right. A cup of tea.
No, yeah, the cup of tea delivered by. Hey,
what
we got to
get out of. Oh, go ahead, Stani.
I was just gonna say, Jim Barnett. Jim Barnett coming up at 1 o'clock. JB, all you go.
No, I was just saying, Draymond. Here I go again, because I don't forget anything he says. He says there's a lot of fake tough guys in the league, and we get that. But I guess where I'm going, and I'll go back to Moses Malone era, the Bill Russell era, whatever era, what do you get out of charging the ref? Because to me, that falls under the fake gangster thing. Dibs, you ain't going to sock them. They ain't going to change the call. So you're doing all that machismo, all that macho stuff. What do you really get? Because I want to tell Dre if I saw him, like, that falls under the fake gangster stuff that you talk about. The tough guy thing. Mm. Refs ain't coming at you unless you're Hockley's in the NFL with those goods.
Wow. Yeah. And think about this list of guys and tell me if they all fall under your fake tough umbrella. Russell Westbrook, he leads the league right now, our league, with 9 technical fouls. Dwight Howard shares second place alongside Draymond Green.
Wow.
Fourth is Bismack Biyombo. I don't know if he would be a fake tough guy.
He was terrible. Yeah.
And then this group of players, all with 5 techs, the OG of the fake tough team, DeMarcus Cousins,
is
5 techs. Luka Doncic with 5 T's. Devin Booker, Kyle Lowry, and De'Aaron Fox. Maybe there's something in the water in the 916. But there are your league leaders, guys, on technical fouls. Many of them, Goo, I think, would fall under that fake. I'm not saying Boogie's fake tough or Draymond, but that whole nature of you're yelling at the ref for what? Is the ref going to say, you know what, Draymond, thanks for screaming at me. You're right. It's a jump ball. It's not a timeout for Charlotte.
Yeah, and to Booker and Doncic, Steiny, they whine. Draymond is like, I'm about to do something to you, Jack. What you got? What? You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, where is this going? And you know it ain't going anywhere. But it's like, man, I have never seen a game like that to where the other team ties it with the two techs. And you let me know if I'm wrong, Steiny. Off the top, I cannot remember. And that's why the Rozier shot went in, so the Warriors can deal with the fallout if they deal with it at all.
Draymond did not talk after the game, but a couple of his teammates did. Let's take a listen to Damian Lee. Damian Lee afterwards when asked about Draymond.
At the end of the day, Draymond's, you know, one of my vets. He's a leader, and I'll continue to, you know, look at him or look towards him for leadership. He's been in this league long enough, and he's a professional. He knows, you know, what's right, what's wrong, and it doesn't matter day in and day out. I'm always going to ride with Day Day. So, you know, throughout the good, throughout the bad, I'm always going to ride with Draymond and, you know, go from there. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm a Warrior or not a Warrior. That's my guy. That's one of my vets, and I'm always going to ride with Day Day.
All right, well, that's Damian Lee, a guy, you know what, still trying to hang around in the league knowing that he's got to say the right thing. That, I mean, that's Damian Lee. I can't expect Damian Lee to say anything critical is what I'm saying.
And what's he going to say? I mean, that we don't already know. What's
True.
He going to say? Draymond shouldn't have lost his cool because those two foul shots allowed them to tie the game and ultimately led to us losing. I mean, that's the rat on the table. And so whether he puts it there or not, yeah, the thing is just sitting there, and it's heavy and it's smelly. But the other part of this is what Damian Lee was saying. He's going to ride with them because Draymond's the lifeblood of that team. He was the one who dove in to tie up Gordon Hayward. You watch Andrew Wiggins on that play, and this is not to criticize Wig.
I got
he
it
was
on
at least
now.
In the
I
area.
Will. Go ahead.
And tell me what Oubre does on the play. Oubre took about a step and a half toward where the ball was in a casual sort of, did I drop something? Fashion. So you can criticize Draymond for losing it, but he was the one. So the ball gets tipped. Draymond jumps in and taps it the other way. Hayward gets it, and then Draymond's the next one involved. So he was involved in back-to-back actions on the play. So criticize him losing his temper, but you can't criticize the effort ever.
No, you certainly can't. You certainly can't. You never can. But how much is – when's enough enough? Let's go to Robin. Robin's in the city. How you doing, Robin?
I'm in.
Let's get a dose of perspective.
I can't wait
here.
To hear this. Yeah.
Hey, Robin.
Well, here's the thing. I disagree in terms of that was he didn't have possession of the ball. So we could go over that back and forth, whether he did or not. I think it was a legitimate gripe. You know,
okay.
I hope I don't, you know, Day-Day, you know, my dad used to always say, don't let your mouth overload your ass, okay? And that's exactly what he did. But here's the deal, what I want to know from you guys, because I have a theory. This is how I saw it. And I could be wrong. When they were both battling for the ball, okay,
yep.
They were both laughing. Whatever was said between them down there on that floor, Gordon Hayward was laughing too. So I want to know when that technical was called on him for that, because I don't think it was called right then and there.
It wasn't.
It was, and I think that he really got upset about that, and that's when he went after the referee, not just because of the call, okay? And he hit him with two technicals at the same time, because that technical wasn't called. And Gabe,
that's right.
And this is the part where he needs to realize that he's a target. He did it to himself. And whether he's accused of stuff that's going to be fair or unfair, he has to realize that he brought that on himself. But I'd like to know when that technical was first called, because I really think that's what he got mad about. Bye, you guys.
Thanks, Robin. How about this? I'll tell you what I think the sequence was, and you tell me if you guys agree. So Robin's right, got to the jump ball, and now Hayward and Green are tied up. And you know what? I don't know if they were laughing, but Hayward at that time thought it was going to be a jump ball. He did not know that somebody had called timeout. So they're both on the floor. They're both assuming it's going to be a jump. Now Draymond finds out that they're granting not only possession, but a timeout. At that point, Draymond, like, you know, gets up, flailing. He bounces the ball. No technical at that point. Three refs come in. And now the refs start, okay, what do we got? The one ref's like, I got them a timeout. Then Draymond starts to lose it. And apparently at first he must have said something to a Charlotte player. And that's when he gets the first tee. And then that, and then I think after that was when Kerr was like, come on. And he just couldn't get Draymond back. And then that's when number two came. That's what I interpreted. It might be wrong, Dibs.
I think you're right, actually. And we'll play the sequence again, maybe coming out of the break, because it's somewhat lengthy. But you'll hear whistles, and there's a series of whistles after the play was over. And the only time you blow your whistle in a dead ball situation would be to indicate a timeout or other administrative action or a call correction, which they weren't doing. So you hear a series of whistles after the fact, and I think you're right. And in the video, Goo, you see it right away when the possession's going to be given. He jumps up and he gives him a big old giant FOH to the ref.
Okay.
A friend out of here, for lack of a better way to describe it. That you can see as an amateur lip reader, and that's kind of how the ball got rolling. But even at that point, he wasn't given a tech.
And he took the bait, Steiny. And I'm Robin, everybody can be correct. Whatever led up to him getting mad, you can't lose your composure to the degree you give the other team a two-point burger. Guess what? Down two.
And you know what,
two.
Goo?
Down two.
And I would even
here,
say.
Here, tie it up.
I would
and
even
I'm
say,
getting ejected. Go ahead, Steiny.
No, I would even say, saying he took the bait is too generous. What bait did he take? He didn't like a call with 9 seconds left in the game.
That you're still winning.
I mean, the bottom line is, if Draymond Green decided to keep his mouth shut when the ref made what he thought was a bad call, they very well win that game. But he could not keep his mouth shut.
Right. And he crossed the line. And those are the head
That's
coach's
right.
words. And, you know, are there repercussions? That ultimately is what's going to lead to this either happening again or not happening again. Because, by the way, Guru, 4 years, $99 million, that contract started this year. So you've got Draymond, and when he's great, he's unbelievably great. There's no player like him. But when he has these moments, these meltdown moments, and costs you games, it just leaves you scratching your head.
All right, we see y'all on the phone lines. We're going to get to you right after this break. Damian Lee says he's going to ride with Draymond Green no matter what. Are you still riding with Draymond Green no matter what? 888-957-9570. We'll be back to talk about it more right after this.
Now for the Exergen temperature check, because accuracy matters. It's 63 degrees and sunny in Concord.
Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we're not talking about the Warriors. No, we're talking about Draymond Green. Two technical fouls with 9.3 seconds to go on Saturday. Messed up what could have been a real, real nice win for the Warriors in Charlotte without Steph Curry. And I'll tell you what, in a way, Draymond Green's behavior has taken away from the fact that the Warriors lost two heartbreakers. Goodness gracious. Whew, that Orlando game, they were down, then they got up 13, then they let it slip away, and then Charlotte, Draymond, I'm sorry. Draymond cost him. He cost him. You know what I'm saying, Dibs?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as simple as just to say, oh, you know, he lost him the game, but when you're up two with 9 seconds to go, and you go out like that, man, oh, man alive.
Yeah, it's, all right. Yeah. Go ahead, Steiny.
I was just going to say, you know, we can – how many excuses do we make for a player? And the answer might be as many as times he makes mistakes. Because the accountability thing, I think, is an interesting one with Draymond. I want to get into that a little bit because – he's got a history. Let's face it, guys. He's got a history.
Yeah.
And if you don't do something early, how can you do something now after all these years, Dibs?
Mm. Change, I mean, to make those kinds of changes, fundamental changes in temper control, anger management. And can you still play on that edge without blowing up at officials. I mean, it would take a concerted effort for him to rework that one part. He'd have to rewire the way he looks at officials and officiating. And maybe if he spent a summer refereeing AAU ball and just, you know, running up and down. I'm serious, Steiny, to get an appreciation for the other side of it, because there's no doubt he knows the game inside and out. His basketball IQ is second to none. You know, he plays with an unbelievable and unquenchable desire to win, but it doesn't seem like he has an understanding of the other side of it, the officiating piece. Maybe, Goo, that's what it would take for him to really change, because he continues to make these same sort of temper-fueled mistakes.
And here we go, Stani, because you talked about it. The exercise you did with the skeletons in his closet and another early rat. If we were in Boston, and I love the Bay. You know, I'm from the Yay. If we were in Chicago, New York, or Philly, I'm going back to 16, and Draymond did what he did to the Warriors in the finals, where you could make the good argument that he cost him the finals, and then he went at the coach in the locker room in a game, and he still survives that. It goes back to Dibs, why now should we expect that guy to change? And the worst part to me, again, not to be redundant, was Eric Paschal had to speak to Draymond, because it wasn't just the teammates. It was Dub Nation that he owed an apology to. And he didn't say a damn word. That is the biggest double standard I beat to my drum. I don't answer to nobody. It's like Denzel in Training Day when he was talking to the neighborhood. I'm King Kong. And nobody was feeling it. I'm King Kong around. That's Draymond. And it reeks, right, man. Stay face to music. Talk to us when you mess up, not when it's good.
At some point, Denzel was King Kong in that neighborhood, and they weren't rebuking him. And it wasn't until the end when he had showed himself to be a fraud and out only for himself, right, and not really down for the community at that point. Now, I don't think that Draymond has reached that point yet where, you know, he's not making it out of that cul-de-sac, which, by the way, I believe that was based on one of the projects down by Candlestick.
The Village.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
That's right, where, right. Down there in no, don't write me, Spadoni. Are you mocking me, Joe?
No, he's saying you're right.
Okay. I mean, my street cred is very important to me.
Boach knows.
Okay. Don't forget
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah,
Ethan
there
Hawk.
You go.
He's a competitor.
Thank you. I was hoping for right, but I'll take the other one.
I'm impressed that it's actually a movie that you've seen.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I just know that he's in it.
I'll start.
Can we put that on the list as well? Yeah. I mean, that's...
Dibs, who we kidding? There is no list, right?
Well, the list is every single movie. Would you put that on Denzel's Mount Rushmore, Guru, Training Day?
Oh, no doubt. Rushmore? Yeah,
he's got some, I mean, got so many good ones.
Here's Eric Paschal talking about Draymond after the loss.
He said it was his fault, and he took ownership, and as he always does as a leader. And again, we still rocking with Dre, no matter what. Great dude, competitor. So it's all good. I mean, shit happens in the NBA, and we're just going to learn from it, try to come back again, try to win the next one.
So there's Paschal. There's Paschal saying Draymond took ownership. Took ownership after the game. Let's head out and talk to, let's go to Boots. Boots is in San Pablo. Hey, Boots.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely, Boots.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Okay, so I have two things. With Draymond, I think it was good, given the Warriors culture, I think it was probably best that they sent out Paschal, because Paschal is a cooler head and he's not going to say anything that would lead to further problems. And it gives Draymond a chance to cool down, and, you know, he apologized. It probably wasn't the right time for us to hear from him. So that was good. And also, I think it was good. I know they lost the game, but they are coming together so well cohesively, And they're working within the culture that Golden State has, which is an awesome one. So I think they are going to be able to take away something from that game and the other ones where things didn't quite fall their way. So I'm actually proud of them. I think they're on the right track. I think Draymond, he brings so much to the team. We got to forgive him. Also, think about this. He's coming from having COVID, and nobody knows how that's affecting us psychologically and emotionally and physically. So, and one more thing, you got to take into account the referees. Nobody plays fantasy NBA or anything and have a team for the referees. So they got to stay in their place, make right calls, own up to it when they don't make right calls, and let our players entertain us. They're doing it in a pandemic. They're risking their health. They're away from their families. They're under enough stress. Let them bring their fans the joy that we're getting from watching them.
Thank you. That's you had me up until you took a drive-by at the officials, which was unnecessary. And you look at the two-minute report released by our league, and no blown calls in the final 2 minutes. But good points nonetheless about nobody tunes in to watch the referees, but they are necessary, necessary to the proceedings. And Draymond Green needs to change his relationship with the officials because it's not working. Screaming at them in that spot, it cost you 2 points. It cost you the game. And it's got to be a new approach. If you try something 80 times and it doesn't work, maybe try something else, Goo, the 81st time.
And again, you know, I've been yearning for Steiny. I've been yearning for Draymond to put up offensive numbers. You do that in a game without Steph where you put up 5, 7, and 3. I would love to get 5, 7, and 3. But let's not act like this guy was, Wilt Chamberlain, Steiny. 5, 7, and 3, and then their new column. 2 points that you gave to the other team when you got ejected.
5, 7, 3, in San Jose. What's up, Austin? How you doing, man? You want to talk Draymond?
Yeah, 73-9 record, three world championships, the heart and soul of the team. Yeah, I'm gonna live with Mr. Draymond Green. I think that he deserves continues to deserve breaks. And tell me on the team if you're gonna take Draymond off that team. Tell me who you're gonna replace him with. The other thing, the rat on the table that no one wants to talk about is coaching. How do we lose games down the stretch? It's the coach's job to make sure it doesn't happen. Why wasn't Steve Kerr the one being thrown out of the game? Draymond shouldn't have had to have been thrown out of the game. So that's something we need to think about. Why, you know, Steve Kerr's performance. How about that? That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
All right. What's the talk about Steve Kerr? Let me just do something real quick. Just for everybody out there that's, Draymond. All right, so 2016, he messes up the finals by getting suspended. But the one incident that I've heard over and over again from people that know is the incident that changed everything was the halftime of Oklahoma City in 2016 when he challenged Steve Kerr in the locker room at halftime of a regular season game. They had police outside the locker room, ready to enter the locker room because they were unsure of how serious Draymond Green was when he was telling Steve Kerr, try to make me sit down. Come over here and make me sit down, when Steve Kerr had asked him to sit down. And you know what all the fallout from that halftime debacle was? Nothing. They didn't do anything. There was talk. We got to do something. We have to discipline him. There was no discipline after Draymond Green threatened Steve Kerr. So if you're not going to discipline him that point, then I guess you're not going to discipline him at all. Don't forget Maurice Spates, in that big article that Ethan Sherwood Strauss wrote for ESPN at the time, said Draymond effed up practice and crap. How about Draymond talking about Steve Kerr at the parade? The dude complains every time I take a shot. I mean, he walked around the facility during that time. Luke Walton, Luke's my guy, because he liked playing for Luke Walton more than Steve Kerr. And then you have it the other way, Steve Kerr saying over the years, we got a really likable team except for Draymond.
So this has been going back and forth. We haven't mentioned even the blow up with Kevin Durant, that certainly was a part of Durant leaving. And here's what I would say. If you're in the Draymond is going to be Draymond camp, well, guess what? It's going to get worse because he's declining and there's no end in sight for his behavior. So that means he's going to be contributing less as he's maybe demoralizing or hurting your team more. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. And this